Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for June 23rd, 2022. We'll get right into it. Stocks are trading about as we have expected. We want to see the internals this week, but we do seem to be stabilizing a little bit. I think we can be down into the end of the month, and then it's very possible a trading rally begins. If we do see an announcement that we're in a recession as of June, that would make me more optimistic. But I noticed that a lot of stocks, and we're going to talk about recession in just a minute. After the end of the stock session, I'm going to ask Jeff if he's on the call. We exchanged some texts last night to comment on this. Not Jeff Garbaz, but another Jeff that is one of our independents and a fundamentalist. So I'll call on him in a minute. But we are noticing from a purely technical perspective, a lot of stocks are holding the 2020 highs. We've managed to erode everything back to 2020. And so we want to see how that goes, but this is certainly a logical place to at least get a bounce. We're getting a lot of questions on stocks that are really beaten down. Palantir is an example of that. And all I can say is this: we would be careful looking at those names. They may not rebound the way people think they're going to rebound. There's a couple of tricks to buying names like that that we should mention. One is actually an idea of an old associate of mine, Cam Huey, and that is to look for beaten down stocks that have high insider buying. Those may have a better chance of working rather than stocks that do not. So that would be one sort of screen to look at. And the other thing that I do when I try to buy things like that is I look for, or rather I use what I call a time stop. What is a time stop, you ask? And that's a good question. A time stop is you buy the stock and you say if it's not doing much in a month, you consider looking for a break even or a little bit of a profit to sell it. And you don't have to use a month. You can use 3 months. You can use 2 weeks. Whatever you do. What I've found in my own trading is that my timing is good enough that if I buy something and it's not working, and say the stochastic is moving from 20 to 60 to 70 and it's not moving, when I get a sell signal on that, there's an excellent chance it's going to move dramatically down. So I look to get a break even. In the case of most of our clients here on the phone, you guys are looking to buy investments but not necessarily tie up money in something that is not working. And again, one of the things that I think people may do here is they buy some of the old leadership, and that old leadership simply doesn't work, and they're sitting there looking at the new leadership advancing and saying, well, my stock's going to go along any day now. A way around that is to say I'm going to give it a certain amount of time to move with the market if the market's moving up, and if it doesn't, you chop it and you go into something that's working. So that's a time stop, and that's how we would handle that. Before we talk about bonds, Jeff, are you on to talk about that Goldman Sachs recession stuff? If you are, please chime in.
Hey, Fred, I'm on. Oh, Fred, the other Jeff. Okay.
Other Jeff. No, this is Jeff, not Jeff Garbaz, but the other Jeff.
Got it. Hey, Fred, I'm here.
Good, Jeff. Thank you for taking a little time and talking about this, because you've got good familiarity with that data, and I do not. So, Jeff, what do you see?
So it's not Goldman, but it's Ralph Hall. He's an ex-Goldman guy. He's the owner of Real Vision, which is it's a pretty good podcast daily that just gives you kind of facts on the market. He's been talking for a couple months now about, you know, watching the ISM number carefully. And when the ISM hits 47, you know, the U.S. is definitely in a recession. If you look back to 1974, the ISM was hanging around 55, 56, which is kind of where it is now. And then it just immediately collapsed down to 30 within 4 months.
Right.
And so they've been saying for a while that they think that the economy is going to come to a hard stop. And, you know, it kind of feels like it is, you know, outside of travel, which is, you know, I think ridiculous, and people have been, you know, bought tickets months ago to go places. You know, restaurant sales are slowing. I have insight into 13 restaurants here in Richmond, and you know, the trend is slowing. Now, it's hard to tell if it's a summer trend or just, you know, the economy. But when you think about gas where it is, rents being at $2,000 a month, employment wages are back to 2019 wages based on, you know, basically all the increases that have been given out the last year have been wiped away by this inflation. So, you know, Rawls' point is that he expects the economy to come to a screeching halt, the ISM to collapse, bond yields to go back to, you know, that 1%, 0% range. And this is a great time to actually start buying tech again, tech and crypto. That's kind of where he was on this whole thing, which it's hard to disagree with, especially when you look at, you know, where oil is. Freeport-McMoRan is, you know, is lower than it's ever, you know, than it's been in probably 18 months. And I don't see copper going anywhere. Cleveland-Cliffs, the steelmaker, you know, they have guaranteed contracts and they're trading back to 2019 levels and they had record profits last quarter. I don't think that's changed. You know, so something is definitely going on here where I think the market is seeing this stop in the economy.
Thank you, Jeff. And tell me something, please. I know you're going to think I'm an idiot. I meant to look it up last night, but I didn't. What is the ISM number? What does ISM stand for?
It's the manufacturing survey. And it's, you know, it was at the height back in November, December last year. It was probably around 63-ish. And it's been coming down every, you know, for the last 4 or 5 months. And so it's been in this 55 to 56 range. But historically, when you look back over time, every time it hits 47, it's the U.S. is always in a recession.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm kind of watching that closely. And then it's never really dropped to 30 except in 74.
Right. And the reason in 74 was, of course, primarily oil, cost push inflation, and, you know, the Arab oil embargo. And frankly, also, you know, we had some political turmoil then as well. So,
yes, kind of the same as today.
Yeah, some of those things are the same and some of them are not. But, you know, one of the things, Jeff, that I would just mention is, and again, this is purely technical, not fundamental at all, it does look as if some of the materials-type stocks are anticipating a recession, right? And obviously the economy slows. I can tell you anecdotally around Atlanta that gas prices seem to be having an effect, and the only way I can judge that is there's much less traffic and there's not a lot of cars in gas stations that I pass. So that's, I think, a sign that gas prices are having an effect, and that's purely anecdotal. But I drive around one of the biggest shopping malls in the state of Georgia, Perimeter Mall, you know, at least three times a week. And I'm, in fact, on my way over there after this call. And you're just not seeing the kind of traffic that suggests people are going into the restaurants and going into the stores. And for those of you who know Atlanta, I drove by Lenox and Phipps the other day, and they were ghost towns. Now, there's violence issues in those malls and gangs. So, you know, I think people are moving, but they're moving out to Perimeter Mall, and that's weak as well. So, yeah, I can certainly see the economy falling off a cliff. Jeff, I'm not so sure about oil prices. Again, from a technical perspective, when everything gets overbought, it does come down. So for me, seeing a sharp drop in energy, and particularly gasoline, and I'm looking at UGA as my main indication, this sharp drop into support with a stochastic recycle, to me, is a huge buying opportunity for a move on UGA into the 90s. We'll have to see how that goes, obviously. But the last sharp drop we had, which was back in March, led to a rather large rally that, you know, we're still not even back at the high end of those March levels. So I would be a little leery of gas coming down and oil prices coming down, but that's you know, neither here nor there. But again, I think now, Jeff, is the time to be looking at big cap stocks like ABGO and Apple and Microsoft. I think those will be market performers, even if they're not leaders. So, you know, I think you have to look at those. And they've had good drops. You know, I was looking for Apple to get to as low as 110, but it got to 130 from 180. That's not so bad. So, you know, these stocks are probably going to do well. Again, caution on the smaller ones like Palantir and stuff like that. Some of these stocks may not have been worth the, you know, paper they're printed, the certificates are printed on. But we'll see, you know, how that goes. Let me go on with the rest of the markets here, Jeff, and then Jeff Garbaz and I can have some chatting. But I thank Jeff for that. And you'll notice I'm not using Jeff's last name. I try not to give everybody's names out on the call. So we appreciate Jeff. He's a good friend and a wonderful client, and I'm happy to know him, and I see him every time I'm in Richmond. So bond market, let's say, is holding on and trading well. And what's interesting here, the thing I'm looking at is not so much TLT right now, but MUB is right in that 105, 106 area that we've been using to suggest that rates were going to stabilize. And, I mean, we're literally, I mean, this is sort of funny, but the exact number I'm using for a breakout on MUB is 106.21. And we're right at 106.02, and the high of the day has been 106.02. So if that can work well, we may see some stability there. And, of course, FVX, Fred Victor X-Ray, it's back down to 30, which is support. That was the breakout. If that starts falling below 30, again, that would be an indication that bonds are probably going to start to do better and that recession chances are there. I also want to note, by the way, we've been using as a target for some of our Merrill Lynch advisors that were lucky enough or clever enough to listen to me and sell their Bank of America at 48 out of their 401ks. We've been using 32 as our price. We've had it several times this week. So these financial stocks may be getting ready to turn as well. We do see the possibility of a tradable rally here for sure. And one of the things that will tell us in stocks is MUB above 106.20, say 106.25. In terms of the commodities, we still like oil, as we mentioned. I'm noticing that gold is not doing much of anything at all. I mean, the accumulation model that we mentioned a couple of months ago as having improved has now started to fail again. So we would be staying away from that. We notice our SILJ, which we recommended at about this price, did trade up to 12, which was a little lower than we thought it would go ultimately, but some people sold it there. We're glad about that. We would be staying away from there. And the other interesting market here that we're looking at is DBA. Agriculture is coming down into the end of June for July, which is normal. As those contracts go off, we may very well see that turn up in the next week, and DBA and wheat are oversold now. So we'll have to see how that goes. Corn, of course, which is a big July contract, that's down on a gap today. That's not a surprise. Soybeans, big July contract, down on a gap today, not a surprise as these contracts go to spot. And again, one of the reasons these are going down is the traders on the floor know that these contracts go to spot and become deliverable. So very often, right at the end of June, and remember the July contract is the big up move type contract. That's usually the strongest contract of the bunch in the year. Well, they all know they're going to spot, so they're going to back away and they're going to sort of let that settle out. So this is usually when you get a correction in these markets. And even a peak, but we will have to see with the food stuff in Ukraine and all that. This may just be a pullback into July. We'll have to see how it goes. We're looking at these seriously as a possible buying opportunity. With that, I think I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if there is any interface from Jeff vis-a-vis. And that's Jeff Garbaz this time, Jeff. Jeff?
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Working okay.
So I want to start with this idea of how bad the first half of the year has been. Okay?
Okay.
So far, the worst first half of any year. Okay?
Right.
And if you go back and you look historically, I'm going to give you the years where we had really bad first halves. You can go back way, way back, and there are some other times it's worse. But here they are, in order of declines. 1932, first half of the year, down 45. Second half of the year, up 56. 1962, first half of the year, down 22. Second half of the year, up 17. 1970, number three, down 19. Second half of the year, plus 29. 1940, first half of the year, down 17. Second half of the year, up 10. 5, 1939, first half of the year down 15, second half of the year up 18. So, what do you think of that? Because that's fact. And
right.
How does that play into right
and,
now?
You know, the thing you have to look at, to me, is some of those years were at the beginning of very strong declines. But you had a good second half of the year. 1970 in particular, we rallied back and then had the collapse into 73-74. We are still thinking that you could see a tradable rally into the end of, you know, into the end of the year from here, right? We would be buying select things because of that. But I want to see how my internal indicators look. Jeff, I was amazed, honestly, the bad week, expiration week, we saw substantial improvement in the internals coming into that week, and things just fell apart, and the internals became as bad, the worst ones we saw, actually, the month. So I want to see how those look. But, yeah, we would be buying selected stuff here for a rally at least, you know, into August, September.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about last week and what really happened, though.
Those options expiration.
Well, here's the deal. On Friday, it was like irrelevant. Friday was not a bad day. As a matter of fact, the S&P was up on Friday. And if you look at how the week was doing into that, I got the numbers right here, so I'm going to give them to you. Hang on, here they are. Okay, so last week, Thursday, the strong stocks technically through Thursday were down roughly 8%, okay? And the weak stocks down 9%, okay? After Friday, the weak stocks were only down 6.3%. So we had a lot of buying in the weakest stuff on Friday. So far, we haven't seen that really at all this week, except that this is kind of interesting. I mean, do you not feel like potentially like we're starting a bounce now with the action so far this week?
Yeah, it's possible. I'm sort of hoping we don't, because if we have much more bounce, I'll end up with another sell signal on my quarterly indicators for a drop into September. In other words, a real collapse.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the one argument for a negative early fall period is how much the tax selling has been done. When we have a bad year heading into September, a lot of stocks are still down for the year. That's when tax selling occurs first in September, and that's why you get September/October crashes, because it used to be October, but now a lot of the mutual funds have moved their tax year to September. So if they haven't liquidated their crappy positions and they wait to do it till August, September, that could make for a historically a bad September period.
Right.
The other thing is the recession thing that Jeff was talking about. I mean, quite honestly, today is the what? Today's the 23rd of June. We have 7 more days till the second quarter numbers are done, and then another 15 days after that. So in 22 days from now, we may find out we've already been in a recession. And
that's what I'm expecting, and that's when we bought them.
Exactly. That's not when, you know, things get a lot worse. And I'm seeing a lot of stocks that look like this. Look at Baba. Look at Zoom. Look at Baidu.
Those are Chinese.
These stocks are all kind of in nice bottoming formations. Wouldn't you agree?
I wouldn't look at Baba or the other one because they're Chinese.
Okay, well, look at Zoom then.
Yeah, Zoom looks like a huge bottom.
Yeah. I'm seeing more and more stocks that look like this. Look at WD-40.
My problem with Zoom is it should rally and powerfully to 130, and if it doesn't get through 130, it's new lows.
Well, I'm thinking 150. It goes to 150.
Jeff, you know, I think we're going to get back to the average good stock goes up 11% a year.
Okay, well, if it goes up 11% a year and we're down 22%, that means the second half of the year is going to be up 35.
No, from where you buy it.
Yeah, from where you buy it. Correct.
Right, so 115, 11% would be 130, and conveniently, I've got a number there that could really stop this stock dead.
I mean, look at when they decide to buy them, they buy them because there's no liquidity. Look at WDFC, what that did yesterday.
Yeah, that looks like it could get to 205.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's interesting about where we're at right now is one extreme of extremely well-known strategists, Tom Lee's at 5,000, and then Mike Wilson, who a lot of people who are Morgan Stanley people know, he's at like 3,400. That's the spread right now of strategists. And to me, strategists aren't really worth their weight in gold because it's so opinion-driven as opposed to a technician who kind of more follows it. But that's kind of the range, Fred, we're looking at right now. But you want to see this thing not improve until when? Until then, next week, 9 days
from now, and we should be okay.
So what do we need to be below then to go into like next Friday's open so that hits for you?
Ideally, we just go slowly down for 8 days. But sideways would be good enough.
So as long as we're around this level, 380, 370, et cetera, 360, you're kind of in your level, right?
Yeah. To get us in really good shape is not going to happen.
Oh, I agree.
Because the number that I would need by the end of June, let me just bring this up for a minute. And it's a number that I haven't really been throwing around because it's so implausible. I would get a buy signal like we had in 2008. If we could get the Dow to 2,200, 22,000 by the end of June, that's the number I need.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
So Q's here, since we bottomed, seem to be performing a little better. And I do a relative strength chart of IBW versus IBE. And IBW is now starting to outperform IVE. So with that said, would you be a buyer of IBW for the second half of the year?
I've actually recommended the Pure Growth RPG, which is a better bet and a better chart, to people yesterday.
RPG, what is that chart?
That's Invesco Pure Growth. It's the other one, IPV, does have some value stuff in it.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so
this is definitely
question,
the time to add some growth.
Huh. like TLT is starting to kind of get its act together here a little bit. You agree?
Yeah, I think TLT is going to close the year at 120, 125.
Okay, and we're at 114.73 right now, but we have rallied nicely the last couple of days. So are you kind of, you think it gets through 115 here and goes to 120 right now? And we see rates, I mean, if you were in a recession, rates should be coming back down, and it's not that far away from breaking back below 3%.
Right, that 5-year at 3% is where I'm nervous. Where, you know, if we don't get below that, it doesn't matter. Rates are going to go up.
Other question, last question for you. Ray Dalio, Bridgewater, supposed to be brilliant. Double his bet on Europe. EFA is the symbol for that. Do you buy that argument at this point? To me, I just think like things are so bad that people are now kind of buying into the world is coming to an end scenario. And to me, that's a very bad bet to make. It only matters if the world ends and we'll all be dead anyway, you know?
You know, Jeff, what my problem with Europe has been consistently that some of the bad countries, I was just looking at Portugal because I'm going there in, you know, late September, October. My problem is that some of the countries look so bad that I would rather buy some of the good-looking countries like EWL, which is Switzerland, and forego some of the lousy ones like EWI and EWP. You know, but I would be buying Switzerland in here.
What's wrong with the EWP chart? Because I actually, to me, that actually looks better than EWL.
If you look at the super long term on EWP, it hasn't even got, it's gotten nowhere near even the 2007 highs.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm just talking about this year so far. Switzerland's
that would be a trade, but not an investment.
You what?
That would be a trade, but not an investment.
Yeah, but Spain is down 13% and Switzerland's down 24%. So isn't, I mean, there's got to be something positive happening with respect to Spain vis-a-vis Switzerland at this point.
Jeff, I don't think that's good logic because Spain never went up.
Oh, I agree. I'm just...
Yeah, if you bought Switzerland at the high in 2008, you paid under 30.
Correct.
Right? And it's 40 now. And if you bought Spain at the high in 2007, 2008, it's so far below that says there's, I think, big problems in that economy.
Or could it just be that it's in a multi-year base? Like, it's to me, it looks like on a monthly chart, it's doing what Japan has been doing forever.
Yeah, but you still need some sort of catalyst to get it to go.
Okay.
And I'm just not so sure that's there. I know my friends in Spain are, you know, have engineering degrees and are trying to get work as waiters and lottery ticket sellers.
I hear you. Okay, well, that's it for right now.
Sure. Let's see if there are some questions.
Hello, Fred.
Yes.
This is Irv. How are you?
Irv, I thought that was you. It is great to hear your voice. I hope I see you next week when I'm in Florida.
Oh, good. Just a comment on the PMI numbers.
Yeah.
And what they mean. They tell you whether it's expanding or contracting. So the PMI that came out today for manufacturing, and the key is 50.
Right.
So last month it was 57, now it's 52. So that means we're still above 50, which means we're still expanding, but we're slowing that expansion.
Right.
And the services went from 53 to 51.
Right.
So we're still expanding, but if the number gets below 50, then we're definitely in a recession.
Right.
What's the thing?
It's very, very interesting at the end of June when the rest of these numbers come out.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on Gilead?
Herb, that is one of the biotech stocks that I like, and I still think that one of the leaders in the second half of the year is going to be friggin' biotech.
Okay.
So I would give some serious consideration to Gilead on this support here.
Okay. How about IBM?
You know, I like that one too. It's got a yield. It's got a decent chart, and it's a consolidation that I think this could also do well towards the end of the year.
And my last one is Pfizer.
You know, that's a favorite in my sector review. I was looking at that in the chart book last night, and, you know, it's probably going to get to 55, 56. I don't think this is going to be a big blast-off stock, but I don't see a lot of risk in this.
Okay, great. Thank you, Fred.
Good. Give Philip and everyone my best. I think Derek called them, and we're going to meet you guys again towards next week.
Great. Great. Look forward to it.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, this is Edwin. Can you hear me?
No, I can't, Edwin. Of course I can, Edwin, yes.
Well, I thought I hit the mute thing on my – I thought I muted myself to not give you background noise. So I'm glad you can't hear me, though. So anyway, I've been what was that?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I've been playing the relative strength in commodities, equities, and value. So give you four symbols. I'll start with INFL, which is that inflation beneficiary ETF, INFL.
Right.
These four have gotten clobbered in June. So just getting a sense from you what you think. INFL.
You know, I still like the way it looks, and I'm assuming that they're taking the best down last on some of these and the oils.
Right, right. That was my thought. Similar but different. This is a mutual fund. It's FFGIX. Can you see a mutual fund? Frank
George.
Let me see
what happens. Is that Global Commodity Stock Fund from Fidelity?
Correct.
Yeah, that's pulled right back to support also.
Okay. FAB,
18 is support. What's your other one? Sorry.
Frank Alpha Beta, FAB.
And I'm looking again, intermediate term charts. That, you know, that still looks, you know, it's strong. It may fall a little tiny bit more into the end of the month, but I would expect this to do well. And above 70, you could make new highs.
Okay. And then last, it's a mutual fund, FCVIX, Frank Cat Victor Indigo X-Ray, FCVIX.
Thank you for that. That's the worst looking of these. But it should hold this 17 to 16 area, even if things get gnarly into the end of the month.
Okay. Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Good enough. Good talking to you. Good seeing you the last time I was there.
Yes, sir.
Have
Other a good
questions?
Weekend. When get-
you too. I hear somebody choking.
Yeah, that's me. I'm like fighting off a cold. It's Ricky Miami. How are you, Fred?
Hi, Ricky. I'm sorry you're fighting off a cold. I hate that feeling.
Yeah. Okay, two quick questions. If you had to add to your equity allocation and you're choosing between large cap and your small mid cap, where would you be adding here?
You know, I would... That's a real hard one. On balance, I would probably be adding to small cap, especially if these numbers are getting worse and saying we're in a recession. But I would want to have RSP for sure because I think that's got the right mixture of small and large in it because it's larger, smaller large cap.
Okay.
My bets there. I wouldn't do just one.
Okay. One stock, Conagra, CAG.
CAG. And this is trading well. It should start to trade pretty well after July.
Okay. Okay. Great.
As long
Thank
as
you.
It stays above 30, you're in great shape.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, and good luck with that cold.
Thanks.
Steam rooms are great, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Okay. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Jack.
Jack, how are you?
Hey, good, good. Can you take a look at NEO, Nancy, Indigo, Oscar?
You're at resistance now. It's a little tiny bit. No, you still got a little bit more in this, probably. Say to 26. This is exactly where it's going to fail, if it's going to fail. 22 and 80 to 23. If it fails, it could get back to 19, and I'd look at buying it there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was just looking at it as a trade. So, okay, great. Thanks so much.
Sure. Other questions? Other questions? Going once?
Fred, I'll jump in if that's okay.
Yes.
I'm just curious. There's a couple of stocks that Merrill's downgraded relatively recently, and just see if you have thoughts of whether they should be gotten out of or held. CMCSA.
Good old Comcast. It's oversold, but it doesn't look particularly good. If you had an alternative, I would consider that alternative, Steve.
Okay. Let's see. So this isn't one of those, but what is your take on Freeport right now? I saw it in the chart book. You talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, there, I don't know if you saw, heard about, you know, your old cohort, Steve Suttmeyer, came out and said that the copper chart looks awful. So what would you do with Freeport right now?
You know, I'd certainly hold on to it. I don't have a real sell. I'm looking at copper now, and actually it looks like a drop that has come into support.
I think he had it as a head and shoulders, so you don't see that with copper.
I don't see a head and shoulders on here. I'd have to look at some of the contract months to be sure.
Okay.
And I don't know what copper he's looking at. If he's looking at a continuous, one of the problems with copper prices is that the futures markets, which is where you get continuous contracts, sometimes the contract month prices are extremely different. And I'll try to give everybody an example of that. Thusly, let me have a quick look. I'm seeing, for example, copper at 4 in the cash market and all the way down to 380 by December of 2022, and that's a big drop.
Okay. So a couple other ones. HPE.
I hate to say it's a very definite hold because that doesn't sound definite at all, but as long as you're above 1250 on that, you're okay. It's
okay.
Got to get back above 14 quickly, or it could just languish.
Okay, MO, taking a beating here.
That one has been
reason.
Like Haley's Comet. Sorry, that's the old Haley's MO joke. I may be the only one who actually knows what that is. Close to support at 40, I would consider picking some of this up, actually.
Okay. HON, Honeywell.
Very close to 175 support, I would consider picking some of this up.
Okay. Last two, SMFG.
SMFG.
Sam, Mary, Frank, George.
Right, Sumitomo.
Yep.
Yeah. That is actually, that's very interesting here. Let me check something. I don't have the yield on that, but if the yield is decent, I would consider it. I've got MUFG and happy with it and sticking with it. That's got a yield.
So, you know, would you own MUFG or EWJ right now?
I would probably, I do own MUFG rather than EWJ.
So I've got a lot of EWJ. If I took the tax loss on that and swapped MUFG, it sounds like you think that'd be okay.
I think that would be okay, especially if you decide in 32 days to start going back to EWJ.
Okay. And then the last one I'm looking at buying that I used to own is AY.
Huh. I don't recall ever looking at this. You know, it's certainly got all sorts of bottoming indications in place. Let's see. As long as this holds 29, 28, you're fine, and you can buy it if you've got a good reason to.
Okay. Great. Thanks as always, Fred. Appreciate
good.
It.
And, Steve, any stocks at Merrill? This has worked at Merrill Lynch since I've been there and before. If the analyst lowers the price target and doesn't lower the rating, that's your signal to short the stock.
Get out.
In other words, you want to be very, very careful and have some sort of stop-loss strategy in mind if they do that. That has turned into disasters so many times.
Certainly seen that with the tech stocks this year.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Fred.
Truly.
Appreciate it.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Brian in South Lake. How are you?
Fine, Brian. How are you?
Well, a few names for you. The first one is T-Mobile, T-M-U-S. Someone has apparently forgot to inform them that there's a bad market this year.
That's my favorite telecom stock, and I would feel very comfortable buying that.
Okay.
In other words, this is not a phony rally.
Okay. I'm also interested in if you have any comments on Chinese stocks in general, you know, either the big common ones or others, or ETFs. But specifically, I'll ask about KWEB, K-W-E-B.
I've been using PGJ, but it does look like China is putting in, you know, a bottom. The one that I've been watching to determine that has been GXC holding that 80 area, which it is basically done. It's got to get above, 92.65. But this may be, and China has been bottoming ahead of the United States. So this is actually heartening for us.
Now, could you also comment maybe on Tencent, T-C-E-H-Y?
It's still a nice downtrend. Unless it gets above 52, it'll remain in the downtrend. But it is, you know, in slight buy mode. So if you want to try it, go ahead. Again, the whole thing on these is to have some sort of a strategy for if it starts to not work.
Yeah. Okay. Last one, Perigo, Paul, Roger, Gary, Oscar.
Never looked at this one before, and that's trading quite well. And again, I think healthcare has a chance of being a leadership sector in the second half.
Okay. All right.
So I'd be very comfortable buying that if you want to.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
You know what I've been actually playing around with? It's been a great stock, and it's actually above where we bought it, is United Healthcare. That's the biggest stock in the Dow.
Yeah, God, yes. Another one that hasn't been informed of the bad market.
Yeah. Other questions?
Fred, it's Paul. Hey, Bob Robbins.
Paul. Bob, let's have Bob first, Paul. Bob?
Absolutely. Okay, you like biotech. My favorite biotech in terms of risk and reward is Vertex. V as in Victor, P as in Echo, VRTX.
Yes, Bob. And, I actually like that one as well. I thought about swapping Gilead out in my sector review for that and, frankly, just decided not to. The other swap, by the way, Bob, that I've been thinking of making is I sold Home Depot, which came down more than Amazon, but Amazon came down as well. I was thinking of switching that back. The other one, Bob, that I think, if I've made a mistake in the sector review, it's been in the consumer discretionary stocks. And, Bob, I'm thinking that, I don't know what you think about this, but Marriott and some of these travel stocks may have discounted a return to travel and they're going to dump.
Yeah, I don't have any strong thoughts on that. The charts for in my work have got to be stronger for,
right,
you know, about 3 months, and they're not there yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Good enough, Bob. Thank you. And Verdex is a great idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Got it. Paul.
Yes, Fred. What if the market surprises and does what you don't think it should do, which is rally out for the rest of the month? Let's say we close back, I don't know, something stupid like $4,000.
Then I will be, this will not have corrected the problems I've had in my quarterly indicators.
Yes, but then would you be expecting it to then immediately pull back down into September? Or what are your thoughts? Like, you know, how would it play out?
My first good sell signal at that time.
Okay.
And that would probably, by the way, give me good size lower targets than 380. And, you know, Paul, considering, you know, I'm not in the tooting your own horn business generally, but, you know, 380 back in December was really not a bad target. We're at 377, which is not that far away.
Right.
And, you know, we could see, you know, I think a tradable rally and then down in the fall, and then that might be it.
Okay. Thank you.
All depends on the internals. We'll have to look at those.
Thank you.
Got it. Other questions?
This is Rob in Atlanta. How you doing, sir?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. Quick question for you on XTN. Earlier this month, you advised us to look at XTN with a support of 70. And sure enough, it broke last Monday, the 13th, which led to a pretty rough week last week.
I have to tell you that is one of the big concerns here. But what that is saying to me is we are going to, that the economy is in fact slower than everyone has been expecting, and we have a chance of getting that we're in a recession number, you know, out at the end of June. So that is, but that is a concern. I'd like to see
an ongoing concern,
and certainly, if you look at where the 2020 high is, we're a little bit below it. 70 was a little bit above it. Okay. The 2018 high, we're below. Okay. If we don't start to get back above 70 soon, that's going to be a very bad sign economically for the remainder of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Rob. Fred. Just two stocks?
Let's have Rob. Rob.
ALB.
ALD. Apple Larry David.
Boy.
No wonder. That comes up. Actually, that's a really cool chart. On my charting program, it gives you a nice chart, but it's blank, which means that you probably can make any sort of projection you want. That one looks okay, Rob. I don't have any reason not to do this.
Okay. And
Airbnb, love the company. It's not acting so great, and I bought some recently into this thinking it was a bottom.
You know, Rob, the only problem with this one is, and again, I keep coming back to this, I know I did it in the chart book, new issue, right? But I also think, and Rob, again, I've been on the road the last, I was in Texas for, you know, that event that was mm-hmm. for my friend.
Yep.
The hotels are full. We may see all of these travel stocks start to discount prosperity and travel by going straight down. And that's something I'm worried about. I came so close. In fact, I'm still thinking about why the hell didn't I do Home Depot instead of Marriott?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that could turn out to be a big boo-boo. And we all make them, but that one could be mine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. But I didn't do it, and I, you know, we'll see. Maybe I really screwed up there. Other questions?
So you would sell a Airbnb here?
Rob, I'd have a stop loss, you know, in place that you're going to use, and I would certainly also, you know, I don't think I'd buy any more of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Got to see some strength. And ideally, Rob, the thing I'll tell you what I don't like about this is it went from 105 to 120, which was right at the new offering price, and then cratered.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign that something is rotten in Denmark.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And I just realized I haven't looked at Denmark in a long time. Let's have a look at Denmark.
Hey, Frank, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm in my car, so I apologize about any background noise. This is Joel.
Hey, Joel.
I bought PEJ back when it was around 45 and never sold it. And you can look at it now. I was thinking it as a reopening play.
Yeah.
Given what you just said, and I'm glad that Airbnb came up because I love that company too, and Expedia and Booking.com, and I've just been ripped a new one on all of those. With what you were saying about China, I don't have any exposure there at all. Would you consider taking the tax loss on PEJ and switching over to, I can't remember the letters you gave me,
PGJ, which is very close to yours. It's a pain in the ass. But yeah, one is PGJ, I guess one is PEJ.
Yeah, PEJ is the one that I bought.
PEJ, look at Paul George John. If you have no China exposure, that would be a good tax loss to take, I think.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Okay, cool. I mean, it's the only company or only country we know of that's starting to ease monetary policy. So it kind of makes sense. Thank you very much. And Fred, you've been invaluable.
Joel, thank you. This is where I do my best, but it can be hard sometimes.
Hey, let me throw something out. I sent you an email last week and you called and I wasn't able to pick up the phone and one of my partners picked up.
Yeah.
And you were recommending as a swap for my small cap to go into the DWAS,
sure.
Small cap relative strength portfolio. You still feel that's the right thing to do because
yeah,
we've been doing it.
We're playing the rebalance game there. Okay.
Okay.
The fact that DWAS is drifting down means that it doesn't have it. Some of the stocks that were in there are showing less relative strength, so it's going to rebalance into the stocks that are showing the most relative strength.
So you don't think I'm going to be underweight growth? Because I know you were saying earlier that I would assume value is showing significantly better relative strength than any growth stock would.
It is. And
so you don't think I'm going to be underweight?
It's really going to be, you know, I think that value is going to lead on the way up, not growth. But I also think that growth has been so badly beaten that that something like RPV, which is pure growth, may actually have a better rebound. After all, if you haven't come down a lot, it's harder to rebound. Right? The question is,
okay,
to me is whether those growth stocks are going to have staying power. And the answer to that question is no.
Okay. So it's more of a long-term move as opposed to a short-term move on the DWAS. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you consider, do you think maybe I should hold off on moving my growth then till like maybe the end of next quarter to do the
If you stayed with growth stuff that you're happy with this long, you are probably selling it at exactly the wrong time.
Okay.
But
Joel, right,
what I keep getting, I got another one the other day, is emails saying, I want to buy these stocks because I made a lot of money in them the last up cycle. Right? And those stocks, and of course, I don't know this, I'm guessing, but those stocks may not work this time. Right? So my response to that email is, by all means, if those stocks meet your fundamental criteria, give it a try. But use some sort of a time stop so that if those stocks are lagging on the way up, you can switch into leadership. But, I mean, we've seen over and over, I learned from Bob, who was just on the call, Bob Robbins, and I've seen ever since he taught me this in the early 90s, that stocks that are showing 3-month relative strength at the bottom tend to lead for a year or so. And that's why I say you want to have some of the relative strength names.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, growth should rebound, especially in the first 2-3 weeks.
So maybe even look at the end of July. If we're thinking we're bottoming and going into the end of June, then look at the end of July as making those swaps.
Right, exactly.
At that point.
Joel, I mean, let's talk about it then. I mean, I feel like Scarlett O'Hara. And I am in Georgia, but, you know, let's think about it tomorrow. The main thing I think is I don't think, and I've got a couple of growthy names myself that, you know, I could certainly have sold at higher levels. I'm not going to sell them now. You know, in for a penny, in for a pound. Right?
Okay, one more, and this is a real small cap, a stock that I've been hit hard on. KNSA, can you look at that one for me?
KNSH is in Harry?
No, it's KN, S is in Sam, A is in Apple.
A is
in
Apple.
Kinnexa
Pharmaceuticals. Yeah, I heard that their drug was actually killing people, and that's why it's down. No, I'm kidding. I didn't hear that, Joel. You know, you're right at resistance at 10. If we do see a fairly good July and this isn't at 12, that would be a reason to sell it. But, again, I don't think I would sell it here.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Fred. I won't bother you anymore. Thank you, and I apologize.
That's okay.
I'm calling you for
my job is to be bothered, so Joel, feel free.
Hey, Fred, it's Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
I was looking at the last month or so, looking at some charts, and then relating some to the 70s and then relating some to the Y2K bust. And let's talk about the Qs for a second and all this growth. How does that chart not just become a multi-year base coming out of this? I mean, the Qs did it forever.
Barrett, it certainly could.
Do you see any similarities with the bursting of the NASDAQ in March of 2000 and what we are today? That the drop's been just as substantial, but it took a couple more years for it to finally bottom. I was looking at Cisco, for instance, and split adjusted, it was $83 at the high in March of 2000, and it went all the way to 14 by 2003.
Yeah.
And then now it was at 62 last year, now it's at 43. You didn't make your money back, you held it.
There is a big difference, and certainly anyone that wants to talk about this or argue about it can chime in. But the hallmark of the 2000 to 2002 debacle was stocks that never had any earnings or business plans. They were all hemline stocks, all fats, right? Is stocks that had way high PEs, but they did have an E, right? And so those have come down and those PEs have compressed, but at least they had earnings. Right?
I think I agree with you mostly on the large cap tech, but if you look at any of the small cap tech or Cathie Wood tech, I mean, that stuff has never made money. It's pre-revenue, it's trash.
Right, and that's why I still think that Cathie Wood is, ARK is, I made a joke for someone the other day, ARK the Herald Angels sing, because it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't think that's going to work. But a company like Cisco, is not a bad company.
Well, yeah, and it yields over 3% too now.
Yeah, and it can pay the dividend. Right? Stocks like that are probably going to be okay. The real question is, are they going to be leadership names?
In that case, my question, I guess, is on some of the, I would call it good tech, Apple, I would even say Nvidia is part of that.
Yeah.
Amazon's had a huge drop. I don't see any portfolio managers rushing in and buying Amazon right now, but it could change. I would love to see your accumulation models on some of the big cap tech. But these are widely owned and known. The question I have then is do these things go, you mentioned 110 on Apple, which is that the retracements they like to do. Do you see more lows? I'm not in a rush to buy tech. I'm not really asking you to answer that. But I probably want to say I have plenty of time to buy large cap tech over the next few years.
Yeah, I think
why they bought them.
What I think we're going to see, Barrett, is right now, and Jeff Garbaz can correct me on this, I believe tech is still 36% of the S&P. And I think if we're lucky enough to be on this conference call in 2-3 years, we're going to remark on the fact that tech is now 25% of the S&P.
Well, especially if you include Tesla and, the discretionary like Amazon and
yeah,
that's not in tech, but it's in Google and all that.
Yeah,
right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, obviously, if tech is going to drop to 50% of where it is now in the S&P, right? What's going to take that over?
Well, it's got to be the dividend sectors
that are
less than 10.
Yeah. And I still think it can be energy. I think it can be healthcare, right? And maybe even some good financials.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And financials, you feel like right now are trading down just because of the threat of imminent recession, which I think we all agree we're probably already in. And that's why they'll bottom. Is that one of those things, a harbinger to look for if financials start to bottom, that we might be in the middle of the throes of the recession, but the market might be bottoming there? Is that a good indicator?
Yeah.
All right, so just switching gears just for a second, a couple tickers, if you don't mind.
Sure.
IDV, Idiot David Victor.
Yeah, that's trading okay. It's pulled back to support. It's filled the gap. And I would consider adding to that.
On Europe, just for one second, because that's got a lot of financials in it, and they've been crushed it makes up a huge sector or balance in the Euro stocks. But what do you feel about Europe financials? Are you still a little bit worried about that area?
You know, it's come down enough. I'm looking at EUFN, which I have not looked at in a while, and maybe Jack can tell me to take a look at that in the weekly. But, you know, it's come down. It's in support. It may not be a big outperformer, but I'd rather have that in some respects than EFA.
Right. Okay.
But that'll be a good comparison for the weekly, Jack. Jack is writing that down even as we speak.
Okay. One other question on VBR, small cap value.
Yeah, I want to have VBR. If I were speculating, and I've been known to do that, VBK above 199, you could get a good trade.
Oh, growth?
Yeah.
And you're talking about the short term?
Yeah.
Like 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, or more. But I think you look at it, and the question is, will it be a leader in a year? And I think the answer is no.
And I missed the little part of the call where you said, what levels on the S&P would you be concerned with is if we get to prior to the quarter end that would give you a sell signal in the quarter?
You know, if we actually go up more.
Like,
you know, the question was, if we got to 4,000 on the S&P, would I be happy? And the answer is no.
You'd like to see us rip down a little bit more than a rally in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we might just not do much of anything. I mean, so far we're sort of trading sideways and not doing much of anything here.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, convertible. Sorry to take a short time. You can look at CWB. That's got a lot of the tech. Got a lot of airbags in it with a yield that is, you know, yielding 2 or 3%. But what do you feel about convertibles playing?
Those are usually a good play in environments like this, and I should actually cover them in bonds, Jack, this month or this week. But there's a ICVT, you know, is interesting. FCVT is the real different one, and it looks worse. But yeah, I certainly could do some convertibles in here.
And you said a level on MUB, 106.21?
Yeah, if it can get above 106.21, that will be a sign that we're going to see some stabilization in these rates.
And a rally in bonds in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just stability, just not
right.
Flying upwards. I mean, I think I've heard a lot of different bond forecasts over the last 2 weeks, and with all due respect to my friend Arch Crawford, who's now retired, Arch always told me, and he was a great newsletter writer and an astrologer as well, published for 25 years, did very, very well. Arch always told me not to forecast that nothing was going to happen. He said, people will not pay you for a forecast of nothing. But the one forecast I haven't heard for bonds is that they don't do diddly. They trade back and forth.
Right.
That's actually, I think, reasonable. Fortunately, I forecast enough other stuff that people will continue to pay. But
now, you've been
bonds,
a huge help for all of us.
And that wouldn't be
like
a bad thing for bonds if they did the Richard Pryor routine.
Right. Well, good enough. I appreciate it. I'll jump off. I appreciate
it. Sure. Let's see if there are any other questions, and then we have to get ready.
Fred Johnoff in Minneapolis. I just got a quick one on you for Meta.
Sure.
Meta, M-E-T-A, what do you think?
You know, it's the only good news is it's a double bottom around 150, and it's been close to that. It's not giving strong buy indications relative to something like Apple or Microsoft are one of the better tech stocks.
Yeah.
You know, if
Jim
you
Cramer
want to try it, go ahead.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Fred, this is Steve from Tampa. I'm curious. You haven't mentioned the high dividend stocks that we've been using, SPHD, for example. I mean, those held up extremely well to the beginning of June, and then they kind of dropped pretty significantly. I'm curious where we stand on high dividend stocks.
I am thinking that, again, this is, and again, when things get overbought, they do fall. I think this is, they take the best down last, and those are actually going to end up working and not going much more.
Got it. And I know you mentioned UGA, but, you know, if you hold something like a PDBC, you know, Papa Delta Bravo Charlie, still holding that, or an XLE?
Yeah, and I'm going to look at DBC simply because PDBC is a bad, is because that distribution is a tough chart. Oddly enough, I had an indication that PDBC, or sorry, that DBC could fall to 2760, and it is at 2760. And
right,
if it breaks that, 25 should hold it. And then if I saw this at 25, 2550, I would buy it extensively.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be the last guy holding it.
Right. You know, I think that this is still a real strong chart. And again, you're getting a lot of really interesting cross currents in some of these commodities like wheat and that, because
sure,
we're getting, and especially corn and beans, which are part of DBC, that we will see up until the 1st of July, which is 8 days away, I believe.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then the one individual stock chart I wanted you to look at, Victor, Echo, Echo, Victor. I mean, I think this has to be the chart of the week. It's just looking phenomenal to me. I want to see what your thoughts are.
Yeah, this looks like it could certainly be a bottoming pattern, and it's certainly worth a try.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Fred.
Sure. And again, a lot of these,
Fred,
my God, this came from 350 to 150, huh? Wow. Sorry, I interrupted
Fred,
somebody.
Bob,
yes, sir.
Bob Robbins with a couple of quick observations about technology.
Sure.
In the 2000 to 2002 decline, the Morgan Stanley High Tech Index, which is 30 of the most prominent tech stocks, went down 80%. All right, and I'm looking at the chart of the XLK because the MSH, I don't think it exists anymore. Maybe it does, but I don't know. The XLK went down the same percentage between the high in 2000 and the low in 2002, 80%. Now, in this tech decline, you've only got a 28% decline going. So I think that has some implications. I'm not sure all of them, but one of them is that it's nowhere near as oversold. From the bottom in 2002, the XLK tech index went up about 50% in 2.5 months. So I don't think we're in that degree of oversold and rally potential. How much, I don't know. But
no, Bob,
I would own Apple and Hewlett-Packard Compact, HPQ. but I wouldn't own bad charts.
No, I think the bad charts are going to be bad for a while. And, Bob, I've got an observation I'll throw out there that was very interesting that actually I learned when I was out to dinner at the Shakespeare Tavern with Bob Prechter, which I do once a year.
Yeah.
Something like 70% of the stocks in the queues, NASDAQ 100, were actually replaced after 2002 with new stocks. And the only other time that happened was in 1932 to 1934, something like 70% of the S&P 500 stocks, which was, I think, at that time, the S&P 350 or some damn thing, but one of those big indexes, they replaced about 70% of their stocks. So one of the things that 2000 to 2002 masked, if you look at the Qs today, was what happened to a lot of those individual companies. I know at Merrill Lynch, I got some really, you know, unfortunate looks from people because I took a Pets.com sock puppet with me from Atlanta to New York to have in my office, and I would use it as an example of why you need to be careful to buy buying stocks with no earnings. And they told me that that was a big Merrill Lynch new issue, so I should probably get rid of the sock puppet. But one of my old jokes was, before Linens and Things at the Perimeter went bankrupt, I was up there and I was able to buy 40 of the damn sock puppets discounted 50% after Pets.com went bankrupt. They had them in a big box. And I was joking that those were going to be my collector's item that I sold to people on Wall Street, you know, and that that was going to be a significant part of my retirement plan, like Anaconda Copper certificate. And I have one here in my office now, Bob. I'm looking at an Izzy from, you know, remember that weird Izzy thing? And a Pets.com sock puppet. I have them both sitting on my bookshelf.
So, well, many happy returns.
Yes, hopefully I'll make a lot of money on those sock puppets. But, yeah, Bob, I think, you know, 2000, I mean, Bob, there were, I'll never forget, and we can all tell stories, but remember CMGI? They're all gone. I don't think you're going to have the same kind of disaster this time. And that's why I was only looking for the NASDAQ to go down about 35%, which it came close to. The question is, and we have to watch, if I say one thing on this call that everybody remembers is, if you buy something that's beaten the hell down and it's not working after 2 or 3 weeks of a market rally, it's probably not going to work at all, and you should consider switching into something that's working.
Yeah.
And we're all going to try them. I've got a list of these dorky little things that I might try to buy too, Bob. But, again, you don't want to stick with them if they ain't working.
So true.
Okay. Anything else from anybody on the call here? Other questions? Anything else?
All right, two quick ones.
Sure.
John Deere, D-E.
DE. You know, I'm really interested in that. It's right on support. It's actually oversold. And if I get, I'm not looking at that main Fred Report chart, but if I get a stochastic recycle on this, I'm going to pick it up. And I think I will.
Fantastic. And the second one, Mosaic, would you just wait till July or start accumulating here?
You know, I'd start accumulating it here slowly, but I'd want to have money left for the middle of July.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. And if you see this back above 51, you probably want to start accumulating it then.
Got it. Thanks.
Got it. Right.
Hey, Fred, Brian in South Lake again. Got a couple more for you if you have a minute.
Sure, Brian.
Go, G-O.
Again, that looks to me to be a high relative strength name that you want to own. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay. And Novo, N-V-O.
N-V-O. Yeah, Brian, you always pick. You come up with some real interesting stocks. It's, every time I go to South Lake, I look forward to visiting you because you've always got all these wacky names that are good-looking charts, but very different.
I've got way wackier ones than that.
Oh, I'm sure you do. We've had some calls. But, yeah, that Novo, that certainly looks like it's trading well, and, again, it's healthcare, pharmaceuticals. I like the looks of it.
Okay. Okay, one more odd duck here. Suntopia, Sam, Tom, Tilo, Lima.
You know, that's got bottoming possibilities above, let me just check one thing here, but I think above 810, you could see a nice move on that. And
I was noticing the relative strength line has broken into new highs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any reason why not to buy that.
Okay. All right. And last name, RPRX. Roger, Paul, Roger, X-ray.
That is a nice sideways pattern. You are, you're able to do that. The only thing I would say, Brian, is because it's a new issue, Much below 35, you could be facing doom.
Okay. All right. Very good. Again, the relative strength line is just broken into new high ground.
Yeah, the relative strength, all that looks pretty good. I'm just saying these new issues, I'm probably still being too spooked by them. But yeah. I would certainly, yeah, that could be, I'm selling anything that breaks down that's a new issue now.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure. And let me, I just got a question, KOS. The short answer to that question on KOS, if the gentleman is still on, then I'll text him. I would, if that goes back to 5, it's still okay. I wouldn't sell it below 6. 580 could be tested very easily. Any other questions? Very well. Going once? Going twice? Very well, this will end the Fed Report technical market call for June 23rd, 2022. Everybody have a normal day and a good weekend.